I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, you might remember last week we were chatting to some people at the Truck and Tractor Fest in Trangie.
Yes, that's correct. And this week we're going to be speaking to Paul McCallum, and he's the principal owner of Inland Petroleum and also the major sponsor.
Absolutely. And then straight after that, who am I chatting with?
You're chatting with Brendan at the Edamoga Pub at Tabletop, New South Wales.
Absolutely lovely pub. You got to love that place, don't you?
You do.
And then straight after that?
You're going to speak to Adam and Emily at the Foster Dive Centre.
And then straight after that, we're in Tasmania. How did we end up in Tasmania?
Oh, I don't know. We caught the boat and we're at Railton.
We are.
At the CMCA park, and you're speaking to Neil Howarth, the custodian.
The custodian. Okay. Now, a custodian is like an unpaid employee, okay? He does voluntary work with the CMCA, and it's great because they get paid in kind. He doesn't pay for his power.
Well, he doesn't need it.
He doesn't need
He'll tell you all about that in the interview.
5,000-watt solar system. Not that he's bragging, but, yeah, he's got an incredible setup there, and he's going to be telling us all about that. So apart from all these fantastic chats that we have with these lovely people all over the country, we also have a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you reckon?
On with the show.
Oh, hello, listeners. Phil C here, and we'll still in Trangie, and the name of the show is Roaming Oz, and I'm chatting to Paul McCallum. He is the principal owner of Inland Petroleum and the major sponsor for Trangie Truck and Tractor Show. How are you going today, Paul?
Good. Yeah, it's a wonderful morning. And it's raining, which in Western New South Wales, rain means dollars.
It sure does. It sure does. We were a bit concerned it wasn't going to go ahead, but they said rain, hail or shine, this is going to go ahead. How did you feel? Did you think it's going to go ahead?
Oh, no. I think there's that much enthusiasm. People out here don't worry about rain.
Okay.
Just walk around in the rain. it's good we're in the main street.
Yes.
Not off the bitumen.
Mm-hmm.
It's very muddy.
Yes.
And obviously with trucks and tractors, when it's really muddy, it makes a mess.
Makes a big mess.
No, look, it's a huge turnout.
Yeah.
So many people that I've walked up and down the street, haven't seen for a while. We do a lot of fuel distribution in Western New South Wales, and wherever you go, it's just nice to see customers, friends, people you associate with, even people that have retired. I've run into two or three guys that I used to work with. They've retired. I'm still going.
Yes.
And it's just nice to say hello. It's a very friendly morning, and that's what it's meant to be.
Fantastic. So the festival's been running for 4 years, but unfortunately there was a couple of years with COVID it didn't go ahead.
Yep.
So is this your first year as being the major sponsor?
Yes.
It is?
We were to be last year, but it was cancelled, and the prior year it was cancelled. So it's good to see finally everybody's out and about.
Mm-hmm.
As I said to you earlier, it's been 2 years of people being locked up at home, and it's good that people can get out and relax and enjoy themselves.
So how important is it for the town of Trangie to have this? Because when I was chatting with a gentleman earlier, he said the population of Trangie is about 800.
Mm.
Yet when you have the Truck and Tractor Show, the volume of people, he said it's doubled today, and it's not a real good day.
Yeah, I think people have come really all around from the east coast of Australia.
Okay.
The inaugural year 4 years ago, people had a really good time, and it's got very well known.
Yes.
And people come to enjoy old machinery. You sort of look at the older trucks, and I know we've got this brand new vehicle, but you look at the new and the old and you realise how tough people did it 50 or 60 years ago.
Yes.
It wasn't an easy way to make a living.
No.
It's pretty hard.
Pretty tough.
And you've got to respect it. And you respect the machinery and the camaraderie that comes from the transport industry is tremendous.
Yeah. So you just mentioned you've got this brand new truck here, which is what you carry the fuel in.
Yeah.
And that is 90...
Well, it could be 90 tonne. It's what's called an A-train.
Yes.
So RMS, Roads and Maritime, designated as an A-train.
Okay.
So it legally can, on a road train route, can be 90 tonne.
Okay.
Where it's going to live will be up and down the Hume Highway from Botany through to Tamora, Cootamundra and West Wyalong,
okay,
doing contract delivery.
Yes.
And down the Hume Highway, it's allowed to be 85 tonne.
Wow.
There's a bridge restriction at Goulburn.
Okay.
That will limit it to 85. It's got onboard weighing, so in the cab it tells you what every axle is when it's loaded, and that gets downloaded through the Sentinel tracking system to RMS, so they know what it weighs.
Okay.
So it's pretty sophisticated.
I was going to say, that sounds like a rocket ship, really. To tell you what's on each axle. How many axles does it have?
That's got 12.
12 axles. Wow. And it just automatically tells them, so they know you can't possibly cheat like back in the old days.
No.
People would do all sorts of stuff, wouldn't they? Cheat on logbooks and all this kind of stuff.
Well,
none of that possible anymore.
We use electronic work diaries.
Yes.
So everything's computerised. There'll be three guys working that unit, and you know, I can see on the phone where it is, how fast it's going, who's driving it.
Wow, that's impressive.
Well, it's worth a lot of money, but it'll do its 500,000 Ks a year when it gets working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very efficient piece of equipment. It's very safe.
Yep.
It's got what you call electronic braking systems. It's electric over air.
Okay.
So it's an electric braking system.
Yes.
And all of the groupings on the whole unit, like both sets of tyres and the bogie, they've all got individual computers, so they talk to each other.
Yep.
So as it's braking in milliseconds, each of the groupings adjusts the amount of air to maximise the braking if needed.
Yep.
So that you don't lock the wheels up. It's got what they call roll cop coupling. So if the driver's, say, in an emergency braking situation and trying to manoeuvre,
mm-hmm,
and it thinks it's going to turn over, it dumps air.
Right.
On the outside to stabilise the unit.
Yep.
The technology's gone a long way with trucks.
Yes.
Which is why you can cut the highways.
So how do you get changing tyres with a rig like this? How does that happen? Has it got its own rams to lift it up off?
No.
No?
You call the tyre fitters. It doesn't have spares.
Okay. Yeah. So there's no spare tyres. So what would have been its equivalent? Because it is a truck and tractor show and you do have a lot of vintage trucks and so on. So what would have been its equivalent to that back in the day?
Rail cars.
Really?
Yeah. Rail, up until 1980, rail was the mode of moving fuel around, mm-hmm, New South Wales.
Yep.
Or the east coast of Australia.
Okay.
But, you know, the rail network in Australia, you know, they didn't invest in it, and it's now antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
Probably never come back, and so you know the road vehicles today are moving dangerous goods. But I mean, there's an interesting old mobile trailer down in the parking bay down there, and I've actually got an old Golden Fleece trailer that's 10,000 litres. But you know, this particular unit, it'll run at 68,000 litres. Like, that's a lot of fuel.
Yes.
And move it safely.
Okay. And how much fuel does it use itself? Is it very expensive to run the fuel around?
About 1.6 kilometres to the litre.
Okay. Wow.
That's its average.
You've driven it yourself, so you do have a large heavy vehicles licence. What sort of licence do they...
MC, multi-combination.
Multi-combination. Yeah. So to get a multi-combination... Do you have to be a minimum age? Do you have to have a minimum driving experience? How does that work?
Yeah, well, you start off, if you want to be a heavy vehicle driver, you start off with a HR, or you got MR, HR heavy rigid, yep. And then you go 12 months and you can move to a semi-trailer license. I can't think of the designation, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but no, that's okay.
Multi-combinational, which basically means more than one pivoting point. Look, the drivers that would operate that have probably had 10 years experience to operate that sort of vehicle. I mean, they're not a difficult unit to drive, but it's just handling the weight. And you can, there's really no substitute for having that 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years before you get into that sort of weight. I mean, you're 90 tonnes, so...
Fair enough. So, it's a good day. The weather's not been as favourable, but we've still got a good crowd of people. It's beautiful. Well, it's not raining, so that is a plus. And it's obviously going to go ahead next year. This is going to be a regular thing, isn't it?
Well, hopefully next year it'll be at the showground again.
Okay.
Where, I mean, really, it's the tractors, in seeing the tractors actually working, the old tractors. And you can't do that today.
Yeah, and the tractor pull, I suppose. Yeah. Everybody wants to get involved in that.
Keen to see that. I mean, it just... We can't do it this year.
Can't
it's
do it
too
this
late.
Year. No. But
anyway, no, next year it'll be great.
Next year it'll be fabulous.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to hopefully we'll be the sponsor again.
Okay, well, look, I hope you are. And it's fabulous to have a look at your rig. And that's exactly what people can expect to see when they come in here. They get to see the old school stuff and they get to see a brand new vehicle like that that's in excess of
1.5 million.
My goodness. Well, there you go, folks. There you go, listeners. If you want to see something impressive from the old school trucks to a $1.5 million rig, this is where you need to be, Trangie, at the Truck and Tractor Show. Thank you so much. This is Paul McCallum, listeners, principal owner and of Inland Petroleum and the major sponsor of this fantastic event. Thanks for your time.
That's all right.
Mate, I'm going to have to wind this up. What can I play for you? It's got to be Aussie. Have you got a favourite Aussie singer?
Yeah, John Williamson, Coonamundra Wattle.
Johnny Williamson's Coonamundra Wattle. Great song, Paul. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Stick around, listeners. We'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after that. Coonamundra Wattle by Johnny Williamson.
Don't go looking through that old camphor box, woman. You know those old things only make you cry. When you dream upon that little bunny rug, makes you think that life has passed you by. There are days when you wish the world would stop, woman. But then you know some wounds would never heal. When I browse the early pages of the children, it's then I know exactly how you feel. Hey, it's July and the winter sun is shining, and the Coonamundra wattle is my friend. For all at once my childhood never left me, 'cause wattle blossoms bring it back again. It's Sunday and you should stop the worry, woman. Come out here and sit down in the sun. Can't you hear the magpies in the distance? Don't you feel the new day has begun? Can't you hear the bees making honey, woman, in the spotted gums where the bellbirds ring? You might grow old and bitter 'cause you missed it. You know some people never hear such things. Hey, it's July and the winter sun is shining, and the Coonamundra wattle is my friend. For all at once my childhood never left me, 'cause wattle blossoms bring it back again. Thank you. daily papers anymore. Woman, read all about what's going on in hell. They don't care to tell the world of kindness. Good news never made a paper sell. There's all the colours of the rainbow in the garden, woman, and symphonies of music in the sky. Heaven's all around us if you're looking, but how can you see it if you cry? Hey, it's July and the winter sun is shining, and the Cootamundra wattle is my friend. For all at once my childhood never left me, 'cause wattle blossoms bring it back again.
G'day listeners, Phil C here, this is Roaming Oz, and we are doing 5 months on the road now. Our first stop, we're at the Atomoga pub at
Tabletop, New South Wales.
Tabletop, New South Wales. Now I'm talking to Brendan. Brendan works behind the bar here, and you've been here for about 6 years, Brendan, is that right?
That's correct.
Now tell us a little bit about the pub. How long, you said you've been here for 6 years. First of all, what made you come here?
My daughter. She used to be a manager here.
Okay.
Yeah, and she got pregnant, had a baby, and moved to Queensland.
Fabulous. Yeah. And you decided to come?
I decided to stay here.
Okay.
Great job, great place.
Fabulous. So tell us a bit about the pub. Because I understand, I know there's one in Western Sydney, in Rouse Hill.
Yep.
But you said before this is the original Atomoga.
Yep, built 37 years ago, 1987.
Right.
We just had the 37th anniversary about 3 months ago.
Right.
Yeah, it's been going really good since the new owners.
Fabulous. Now, some other things, I mean, first of all, it's a great iconic pub, isn't it?
Yes,
I mean,
it
when
is.
You look around, listeners, there's so much paraphernalia. Like, you've got what, postcards everywhere? Business? What are these? What's this tower in the middle? That's business cards.
Business cards, yeah. So if you need help, just go to the wall.
Okay. So in the middle of the hotel, if you've not been here, there is I guess it's a pillar that holds the roof up, isn't it? Made
yes,
out
it
of
is.
A huge log.
Yes.
And it is absolutely blanketed in business cards, is
yes,
that right?
That's right.
So if anybody gets stuck out here, they just go, I guess, what would you call this? This is like the roaming rule, the help tree.
Advertisement tree, yeah.
The advertisement tree. And apart from that, there's also a lot of cartoons. Tell
yes.
us a little bit about the cartoons.
Well, they were, back in the early 80s, designed for the kids by a police officer.
Okay.
And he didn't like pulling people over, so he'd go down the side roads around here and draw his cartoons.
Okay.
Then he sent them into the Post newspaper.
Right.
That went for a lot of years.
Uh-huh.
And then people approached him after the cartoon design to build the pub.
Right.
And they built it in 1987.
So this is the first of... How many Atomogas are there, do you know?
There was four.
Right.
There was one on the Sunny Coast, one in Rouse Hill, this one, and one in Western Australia.
Okay.
The one in Western Australia... And this one are the only Atomoga pubs left.
Okay.
And one in Rouse Hill and the Sunshine Coast have changed their image and their name.
Right. Okay. Now, apart from fabulous cold beer,
yep.
you've also got a restaurant next
yes.
door that's associated.
Beautiful meals.
Beautiful meals.
Yeah.
So what sort of meals could a listener expect to get if they popped in here? Is it just your basic stuff, or you got what's it like in there?
Everything.
Everything.
We're having buffets as well.
Okay.
But it's a bit warm at the moment.
Yes.
But we have free function rooms. We do catering.
Right.
Supply cakes.
Yes.
We have breakfast, lunch and dinner over in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee, cakes, everything like that.
Yep.
Have a pool table. Big variety of wines.
Okay.
We've got our own homebrew beers.
Yes, I noticed that. So your own brews.
Yep.
Very, very interesting for anybody who's a bit of a beer buff.
Yep.
And apart from all of that, you've also got free camping, is that correct?
That's correct.
So tell us a bit about that. How does that work?
We just ask the people to come in, buy a beer or a meal.
Okay.
They can park in the car park or on the oval.
Yes.
The oval's beautiful and lush grass. We have showers and toilets that are open 24 hours a day.
Wow.
We do have powered sites. The first night's $25. Every other night after that's $20.
Okay.
Yeah, that's... about it for the camping.
Fabulous.
So we have car shows, bike shows. We're having a rodeo coming up in March. We have lawnmower racing, all different types of
lawnmower racing. You know, I've never heard of that. We've been everywhere. We've seen yabby races, camel races, pig races, lawnmower races.
Yep.
That's an I've not heard of that.
No.
Is that an original Edamoga idea?
Apparently it's local around this area.
Okay.
But they come here twice a year,
uh-huh,
and it pulls the crowds.
Fabulous.
It's really good. It's good entertainment. So,
and when did you say that was on?
I'm not sure the next one. We had one about 2 months ago.
Okay.
And then we had the monster trucks.
Yep.
And they ripped up the oval. So they were meant to come back and they couldn't because the oval was full of mud.
Yeah.
And we've just repaired it, so.
Fabulous.
I'm not sure when they're coming back.
It's a great pub. Do you have entertainment here as well?
Like, yes, we do. We have live bands once a month.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That brings the people in.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous stuff.
We have free function halls. You can rent out the pub.
Right.
Or out the back barn.
Yes.
For free.
Uh-huh.
For your weddings, birthdays, anything like that. As long as you buy your food or alcohol from us.
So they've got a use of a free function room as long as they get the catering done here.
That's right. We have six jumping castles for the kids. So you keep the kids happy, the parents are happy, they stay longer.
Fabulous idea. I tell you what, where have we been? Lynn, where have we been? We've never been to this pub. How is it we've never been to this pub?
Because we've never been down this way.
Silly question. We've been to a lot of iconic pubs. I've got to tell you, this is a fabulous pub. And thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us, Brendan.
You're welcome.
Absolute pleasure, my friend. So if you do find yourself at the end of Mega listeners and... dog friendly too?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
In the bar. In the restaurant, it's not. Just that's the council rules,
okay.
Not mine.
Makes perfect sense, yes. In the bar, you can bring your pooch. And when we brought our little fella in, Brendan immediately came over with a nice bowl of nice cool water.
Yep.
So you're obviously a pet lover yourself.
That's it, mate.
Fabulous stuff. Fabulous stuff.
Give our little mate a drink first.
Oh, yeah. Well, happy dog, happy travellers, I guess.
That's it.
So, listeners, if you're ever passing this way and you find yourself at the Edamoga pub, you're here every single day?
Yes.
Brendan, yes?
Yep.
All right. So Brendan looks a bit like he's a member of the Kelly gang. He's got a beard, a bit like me, but his is a mixture of dark brown and grey. And he'll look after you with anything you need.
That's it. Will do.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for your time, mate. Before we wind this up, I've got to play a song for you. What's it going to be? What's your choice?
Well, I really love the Edamoga pub song.
Makes perfect sense. The Edamoga song, folks, the Edamoga pub song, we're going to be putting that on right now, and straight after that we'll be back with more Roman Oz.
Down in the Riverina, where the Murray River flows, stuck out like a country dunny, is a pub that we all know. It's not a flash hotel or exclusive country club. It's a place that all Australia knows. It's the Edamoga Pub. Just about 10 miles from Albury, out along the Hume, there's a truck parked on the rooftop and beer in every room. Ken Maynard's humour greets you as you drink from your beer mug, and you're glad you finally made it to the Edamoga Pub. It's cockatoos and rabbit traps and free beer tomorrow, mate. And Coop says that he'll stand by it, so don't be running late. Down in the Riverina, where the Murray River flows, stuck out like a country dunny, is a pub that we all know. It's not a flash hotel or exclusive country club. It's the place that all Australia knows. It's the Edamoga Pub. Just about 10 miles from Albury, out along the Hume, there's a truck parked on the rooftop and a beer in every room. Ken Maynard's humour greets you as you drink from your beer mug, and you're glad you finally made it to the Edamoga Pub. There's cockatoos and rabbit traps and free beer tomorrow, mate. And Coop says that he'll stand by it, so don't be running late. You'll be glad you finally made it, mate, to the Edamoga Pub.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Phil C, and we are Roaming Oz, and I'm at Foster, speaking with Adam and Emily from Foster Dive Centre. How are you both today, guys?
Very well, and yourself?
Fantastic, mate. It's a beautiful day, and what a fabulous location.
It is. It's a cracking day. We've had some beautiful weather here lately, and today is absolutely amazing.
It is absolutely picture postcard. The sun is shining. The water is like glass. What a place to have an office.
Yeah. Couldn't pick a better place.
So, Adam, Emily, tell us about your business, Foster Dive Centre. How long have you guys been here?
I'm a long-time local,
yep.
And business-wise, we've been here just under 2 years now.
Okay.
Scuba diving and snorkeling.
Okay.
Courses, beginners, right through to experienced, advanced, dive masters, instructors.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been here a couple of years. Now, I understand, Emily, you're from France.
I am.
And you got most of your certificates overseas, or did you get some here?
So I learned scuba diving 20 years ago.
Okay.
When I was just a kid in France.
Done
most of my diving over there, but after I travelled for 5 years.
Okay.
And dived all around the world.
Fabulous. So what do you think of Australian diving, like here in Foster, as compared to some other countries that you've dived in?
That's pretty amazing. That's beautiful. A bit cold in winter.
Yep.
But here in Foster, we have one of the biggest aggregation of grainer shark.
Yep.
So just diving with 40 sharks swimming around you, it's just magical.
Fabulous. So what about you, Adam? How long have you been diving yourself? Like, Emily's been diving 20 years. What about yourself?
Myself, I've only been diving for 4 years.
Okay.
Emily got me into diving.
Uh-huh.
She did my very first try dive down the road at Swansea,
right.
Newcastle area.
Yes.
And then we travelled a little bit, so I did a bit of diving in Samoa and New Zealand.
Right.
And then came back here, opened up our business, and I love it. I'm also a boat captain, so
right.
I sit on the boat these days probably 80% of the time. But we take turns, and I get in the water, and like
okay.
she said, we're just having an abundance of sharks here. Grainer sharks are just the gentlest giants
yep.
of our ocean.
Fabulous.
And, it's really amazing.
Absolutely. Brilliant place. Now, I understand also another aspect of your business is focusing on teaching people with special needs about, water, safety, swimming, snorkeling, and so on. Tell us a bit about that.
Absolutely correct. I have a brother that has Down syndrome.
Right.
So he's been a little bit of our inspiration. So we decided to focus one half of our business on young adults, youth that have learning challenges, Down syndrome, autism.
Right.
And we get them in the water. And for my brother, It's a learning and an attention deficiency that he just doesn't have the focus.
Okay.
So once we got him in the water and gave him that first breath breathing from a scuba tank.
Yes.
He was like, wow, his eyes lit up, his face had a smile from ear to ear.
Okay.
That was more rewarding for us than it was for him.
Okay.
He's a mermaid.
And he's a mermaid.
So he absolutely loves now being in the water,
yeah.
around the water. Did he have a fear of the water before?
No, he's always loved water.
Okay.
So getting him in the water was pretty easy.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that we noticed from doing our first program with him was, one, he loved it. Two, he was 100% focused.
Okay.
Like, not much, can keep their attention, and especially when things go long.
Right.
So we'll spend an hour in the water with someone, whether it's snorkeling or scuba diving, and we just find they're focused when we're underwater.
Okay.
We have an autistic girl that dives with us. One thing she said to us was, when we're underwater, she's no different to us.
Okay.
We are equal.
Yes.
We speak one language.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
So how many people with special needs have you taught?
We have a full-timer.
Yes.
And she's doing her rescue course with us now, which is great. She's still progressing through her levels.
Okay.
Few little challenges with noise and touch and feel things, but we work closely with her with that to make sure she's comfortable.
Okay.
We have a couple of other autistic and Down syndrome youth that come with us regularly.
Yes.
And starting next week, actually, we have a whole course program from quality individual support That's coming on board for a 5-week course to get them active, get them in the water, try and teach them a little bit about marine biology and let them experience things that's available to everybody.
Okay. So what would the average age of these people be?
At the moment, the average age is probably between 14 and, say, 25.
25, yeah.
But there's no sky limit.
Okay.
You know, you could come to us and be 60, 70, as long as you're healthy and want to have a go, then we'll take you in the water.
Okay. So you being more experienced, Emily, you've been diving for 20 years, who deals with the special needs people the most? Would it be Emily because of her experience, or is it a combination?
It's a little bit of both. We bounce a bit off each other.
Right.
I have the background of being very close to someone with a learning challenge.
Okay.
So I've grown up with it.
Mm-hmm.
For Emily, she's got that teaching skill and connecting. And we find, and everyone's different, boys, girls, women, men, sometimes they will connect better with me, sometimes they'll connect better with her.
Mm-hmm.
So we go as a team and we talk to them, introduce, say hello, get a feel of whether they're going to be more comfortable with me or her.
Fabulous. So you've got this new course starting, a 5-week course starting up shortly, and how many do you have in the course?
It hasn't been confirmed. We've got eight, but he said there could be a couple more coming in. They might even come in halfway through the course and we'll just extend.
So a combination of guys and girls?
Yeah.
Okay, so who do you think... you've taught more guys than girls with the special needs, or who do you think comes the most?
At the moment, it's probably guys.
Okay.
The whole scuba diving industry is still pretty masculine.
Yes.
It's hard for women to enter this world.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So there's predominantly more males than females regardless.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're with Patty, and Patty, they hold days like International Women's Day.
Advertise women.
Diving
industry.
Always trying to encourage more women. We've had a conversation with another local group here that are very close to our Wurrumai land. Community. And I have quite a few connections with the Aboriginal community here as well, and something that we've talked about that's still in the works.
Yes.
But we're hoping to have a young Aboriginal girl come on board and like an internship, and we'll try to teach her what we know about the underwater world, and hopefully she can bring some of her culture and stuff to our knowledge and area.
So is she likely to become a teacher, diving instructor?
We would like it to be. That's the goal, the plan.
Fabulous.
Bring a young, enthusiastic girl, not to discriminate and push and say we want a man or a woman, but, you know, with a struggling industry with women involved, we'd like to try to help and bring more through.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Well, look, you're going to have to keep in touch. We might have to do a follow-up with this and find out whether or not she chooses to join you guys.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
I think what you're doing is fabulous, first of all, Adam and Emily, especially focusing on people with special needs. Often special needs people have a tendency to be stereotyped or put in a box. So I guess the last thing you would expect people with these type of special needs would be doing something like scuba diving.
Yeah,
certainly takes them out of their comfort zone.
Absolutely.
Out of the norm, doesn't it?
And that was like one of the biggest focus. I mean, they will say to you, oh, look, don't beat around the bush. We are what we are. Like, I have autism. That's what I am. And they don't want you to step around the fence.
Yep.
Be direct,
yes,
which is great,
mm-hmm.
but the reality is they're limited to what they have access to in communities, and we want to broaden that aspect
and open up new doors for them.
Yeah, that's it.
Absolutely brilliant. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. It's Adam and Emily, listeners from Foster Dive Centre. What's the best way should somebody want to get in touch with you? How would they go about that? Have you got a website, a phone number? With special needs, for example?
Yeah. Facebook is... we're very active on Facebook.
Okay.
Foster Dive Centre on Facebook.
Right.
We do a lot of posts, a lot of videos, super active on social media.
Right.
Otherwise, our website, www.fosterdivecentre.com.au.
Fabulous.
Or by phone.
Okay.
0451 803 862. Either one of us will pick up the phone and do our best to accommodate everybody that gets in touch.
Well, there you go, listeners. What more could you ask for? Adam and Emily from Foster Dive Centre here in Foster. Before I wind this up, I've got to play you a special song. What special Aussie band or song that you might like?
Yeah, look, long-time favourite of mine, yep. INXS, and they got a good repertoire of songs, but yes. Probably my best favourite of theirs will be Mystify.
Mystify by INXS is coming up right now, listeners. Stick around. We'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after that. Adam and Emily, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All veils and misty, streets are blue. Almond looks, that chill divine. Some silken moment goes on forever. And we're leaving broken hearts behind. You mystify me, mystify me. I need perfection, some twisted selection. Tangles me to keep me alive in all that exists, but none has your beauty. I see your face, and I will survive.
G'day, listeners. Phil C here. This is Roman Oz, and we are in, where are we, Lynn?
Railton.
Railton. That's the name of the place, Railton, Tasmania. And we're at the CMCA Caravan Park, and we're talking to the custodian. Now, I believe the custodian is like the park manager.
Kind of, sort of. We're a volunteer sort of thing. With you volunteer for the club, and you you look after the place for them, and keep the grass at a good length and that sort of thing, and you host happy hours on most days that you can. And
fabulous.
Yeah, no, we'd love it. It's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, his name's Neil Howarth, folks. He's just introduced his job duties, his job description. So Neil Howarth is the custodian here, and he's from Queensland, and he's a full-time traveller living on the road. What's your vehicle, Neil? Tell us a little bit about this fabulous-looking rig you've got.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, no, we love it too. And, yeah, it's a Bova, which is it came from the Netherlands in the 1985.
Right.
And it ran for a bus company from Perth across to Melbourne, Sydney, Adelaide and that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
I think it was mid-90s. It was turned into a motorhome.
Right.
And then we purchased it in 2018-19, and then we've refurbed it and voila, what you see is what you got now.
What
like,
you see is absolutely incredible, viewers or listeners. If you could actually see what he's got here, we're going to talk about this in a moment. He's actually got, he's totally off-grid. By that I mean he needs no electricity whatsoever. He's got a fabulous 5,000-watt system on his roof, 5 batteries. Look, I'm going to let you talk about it. Tell us all about your electrics first, Neil. How does this run? How does it operate? Because you're totally off the grid.
Yep.
You're one of these outlaw motorhome guys who doesn't want to have to pay for power and stuff.
No.
How does it work?
If you can get away with that, that's a ripper. You know,
fabulous.
Big cost saver. But look, you know, like, yeah, when we got the solar done, we've got, we started off with the eight 415-watt panels on the roof.
Right.
And then we put another 400-watt panels on the trailer, which plugs into the bus and plugs into the whole system.
Okay.
So pretty much we've got nearly 5,000 watts coming in.
Okay.
Then we've got the 5,000-watt inverter, which you can just run it like a house. Like, you know, we've got air cons we can run all day. We've got, you know, your normal appliances. Everything's 240 volts.
Yes.
We've got a full-size fridge freezer. We've got a dishwasher. We've got a washing machine, a dryer, you know, a bar fridge here, down here in my bin. That's my favourite bin.
Absolutely. Favourite bin. Yeah. You've even got that air-cooled, haven't you? You don't want those beers to be too warm.
Too right, mate, too right. And with the solar system here, like, yep. Sort of, yeah, as you say, we've got the 5 330 amp-hour batteries.
Yes.
And we've got 3 controllers there, and
right. That's
because we've got 3 banks of 4 panels.
Right.
So Steve Langshaw Electrical, I'll give him a plug.
No, definitely, give him a plug, because I'm
Ripper bloke,
seriously interested in this myself.
He did the whole job for us, and back then he was doing this sort of a system. I believe he's changed it a bit now, but what I like about this is if I've got a problem, I can ring Steve. Steve can log in to our system,
right.
And then he can say, okay, like, you know, with those 3 controllers, you've got each controller controls 4 panels.
Yes.
So he can say, righto, turn off number 1, and then you shut that down, but you've still got 8 panels pumping in power for you.
Fabulous.
So it's a really good system. And you've got a battery monitor device there. You can sort of see what's happening in the way of what's coming in,
right.
what percentage of batteries are at and that sort of thing.
Yes.
And we've also got a colour one upstairs, whereas it's sort of... And as I was just showing you there before,
mm-hmm.
I've got the apps on my phone.
Exactly.
I can be sitting at the pub and I can have a look at what's going on with our system. And, you know, so, you can just sort of see that it's a fantastic setup. And Steve's really done the job on us, like,
it is.
Bloody oath.
It's a fabulous system. Mm, I mean, I'm looking at this massive washing machine. So most caravan owners or people who travel around, they've got the little 3 kilo. Mate, we don't even have a washing machine as big as that in our house at home. So, I mean, just for the benefit of the listeners, with this sort of a system, you can have a massive washing machine.
Yeah,
you can
do
the sheets, you can do your doonas, you
absolutely,
can do whatever.
Mate, yep.
You can run your dryer, you can run your, as you said, your air conditioner all night.
Yeah.
Coffee machine. You also said you had a dehumidifier when
you used to
run the air conditioner.
Yeah, no, that's right. Well, you know, those dehumidifiers, if I can give any motorhome guys any sort of a handy hint, that is one. If you've got the power and you can run it, do it, because we've got those damp rid things, you know, with the pellets.
For the pellets,
we've got a few of them through the bus too, like, you know, under the bed, you know, the storage bins under there, down the front and that sort of thing, and they still collect moisture, and we've got the dehumidifier set on 50%, and some days, like, sort of, if it's really humid, like, sort of, yeah, it's nothing to pull 5 litres of water out of the air, you know, so that's normally floating around in your bus,
absolutely.
You know, or your motorhome.
Yep. So tell us a little bit now about your actual motorhome. You said you bought it in what?
2018, 2019. Yep.
And it's how big is it? How much does it weigh? Is it manual? Is it automatic?
No, well, she's 40 foot long.
Yep.
It's an automatic, a 5-speed auto.
Yep.
You need a heavy rigid license for that.
Yes.
Which I just happened to have, which was perfect.
Yep.
We're 40 foot long. We're just shy of 4 metres high.
Because
when we did the refurb, we actually added another 200 mil to the sidewalls here.
Right.
Which, and we kept the windows the same size, but we raised the whole roof up 200 mil. Because when we first got it, my hair would brush the lights as I was walking through.
Oh,
so
okay. You
tended to walk through with a stoop. You're like, okay. Oh, yeah. So now I don't have to do that anymore, which is fantastic.
Absolutely.
And then we, myself and a mate, purpose-built the trailer, and we've made it into a workshop for my wife Sandy. She makes jewellery as we travel.
Yes.
And the car fits in there perfectly around all her little bits and bobs that run the workshop in there. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, no. And, yeah, it's as I say, it's a Bova. The brand of the bus. It's come to Australia in 1985, and
What about fuel consumption?
Fuel consumption, yeah. We were actually having a discussion at a few of us over here this morning.
Okay.
And fuel consumption, like you're looking at we average about 2.75 kilometres for the litre.
Okay.
So for something this size, like the bus itself, fully fueled and full water tank and everything like that, it weighs about 16.5.
Okay.
And then the trailer weighs about, it's rated to 4.5, but with the car in and all Sandy's gear there, we're about 4.2.
Okay.
So we're just under the thing, so we're approximate 21 tonne, complete, yeah.
Okay.
So,
Now, can your wife drive it or is it just you?
No, just me, yeah. Okay. No, she's not going down that road. She doesn't want to try it, but I did ask her, to get a learner's permit.
Because
I said, if ever, if I something fall happens. Over, break my leg and I can't drive, at least she can jump in the driver's seat and I'm in the passenger seat and we can get from point A to point B to point where B. we need to be, if that ever arose, obviously, touch wood that it doesn't happen. Yep, sure.
Because it is an automatic. I was chatting with another chap on another program, and he's got a similar rig, but his is a six-speed manual, I think, and his wife drives that.
Oh, really?
And that's an old crash box.
Yeah, oh, God.
And I said
how did
you learn to do that?
Bloody
and she
hell.
Said, well, my husband, Michael, very patiently taught me how to drive it. So I'm thinking, automatic, but... Your wife doesn't want it. And I can understand why, because I know there's no way in a million years Lynn would even want to attempt such a thing.
Sure.
But I just thought maybe.
Well, we're a touch under, about 50 mil under 19 metres full length with the trailer.
She's a big rig.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, how long have you been travelling and living on the road?
We started in 2020 when we went to Corroyba. It was just outside of Noosa there to get the refurb done.
Yep.
And then we took us 6 months to do the refurb and everything, and then we've been on the road since around about September, October of 2020.
Okay.
So we're not long-termers as yet, but we certainly don't have any bricks and mortar anymore. This is us. Wherever we pull up is home.
That's exactly right, and there's so many people that are now choosing this lifestyle.
Yeah.
But you, I've got to say now, you're just like one step ahead, because a lot of people that do it aren't really set up for it.
No, it's
5 kilowatts of solar power, you don't need to plug into anything, ever.
And in the 3 years we've been doing it, once we tripped it out because we went over the 5,000 watts, we just had too much going, and it was because one day we were just a bit absent-minded. And we put the clothes dryer on upstairs we were doing breakfast, so you got the toaster, you got the coffee machine and things like that. So we just went a bit overboard and it just went click, just trips out. You come back down, you go, okay, righto, let's turn that dryer off, and then we just click it back in and bang away it went again. It was just brilliant. But I take my hat off to Steve Langshaw from Steve Langshaw Electrical, mate, because he is a ripper. And done many motorhomes out of the property at Corroyba there.
Yes.
Which is, as you can see, we're members of the Outlaw Motorhome Group, which is a ripper group to be in. It's been formed by Aussie Dave, bloke by the name of Aussie Dave. And, him and his wife look after it. And they're bloody good people too. And they're great sort of things to be on to get handy hints about things. If you've got questions, you've got a lot of people have got a lot of knowledge out there, if somebody posts a solar question, you'll see that many responses to it and just tagging Steve Langshaw. And so, Steve Langshaw gets involved then, and then he'll give his bit and then he'll make contact with them and he gives them their time. And
fabulous.
Yeah, he is. He's a good bloke, And then Dave, Aussie Dave, he used to run road trains across Australia and that sort of thing. So he's got a lot of knowledge of the road and what sort of setups and what works and what doesn't work and that sort of thing. Yeah. So there's it's not just him and Steve either. There's plumbers, there's electricians, there's all sorts of guys on there that have done all these things. And yeah, you see all the time, you just see questions, has anybody done this? And if so, how did it work out? And that sort of stuff. And you get a lot of responses and you just get a lot of info,
Fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It's a bloody ripper club to be in, like a motorhome group,
Outlaw Motorhome Group. We'll have to look at that. That's just Facebook. Have they got a website?
Yeah, it's a Facebook page.
And they
welcome anybody that's travelling out there on the road, be it a caravan, be it a fifth wheeler, or a motorhome, big rig, you know, like, yeah. So
fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
It's an incredible lifestyle. Yeah, go on, Lee.
So how long have you been in Tassie for, Neil?
We got here 12 months ago.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we arrived in March last year, and, yeah, we sort of planned to do 12 to 18 months, but we didn't sort of factor in that Sandy would need knee replacements. She's had one of them done about 7 weeks ago. She's still got to get the other one done, so we don't know how long that'll take for her to recover properly, but once she does, and she's able to, you know, we're able to go on walks and stuff again, well then, yeah, we'll sort of then finish off. We've still got all the top of right across the top of, like, over the east as well, up the top end, and then down as far as like Rosebery. We've been to Queenstown and that sort of thing, but yeah, so we've got all that to explore yet. So
Queenstown, that's 99 bends.
That's it.
Did you take this up or down?
No. We parked, there's some good people, in members of the CMCA, and they let you stay at their property at Lewitta, which is just this side of New Norfolk.
Okay.
And they got a couple acres there, great people, Russell and Gay Smith as well, yeah. And they let you park up there for a small fee. And they're great people too. They really looked after us.
So you can go and do a day trip.
And then we did things with the car, and like, we've got a tent and we've got a fridge and that sort of thing. So we just loaded up the car and off we went. We did Queenstown and went over there and stayed overnight. We did the rail journey.
Yep.
And then, we had a couple of markets to do in New Norfolk prior to Christmas. And then just after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year, we booked back on the Gordon River cruise, and we went back and we stayed in the tent at the Queenstown Cabin and Tourist Park or something like that.
Yeah.
Great people there too. Yeah. No, really looked after us there, and we give them a plug whenever we can too on Facebook and stuff because people need to know about those guys.
Absolutely.
Look, you know, when you go there, it's it was a little bit dated, but like clean and tidy. And
we stayed there 3 years
ago. Yep.
So I don't know if it's the same people. They looked after our dog.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, how cool
so
is that?
Do the cruise.
Yeah, sure.
Which is great.
That is. And they, I'll tell you what, did you see the play?
No, the
ship that never was.
No,
oh, really, guys? Go back and do it. It was hilarious.
Maybe on this trip. Next time we'll fly and just drive. And do that.
Yeah, just the way they set it up, it was two people.
Yeah.
Two people do the whole play, and they get audience participation, and at the end, like, they get the kids in, and all the kids in getting involved was just fantastic for them. Like, you know, yeah, it was really, really good. Very entertaining.
So how long have you been custodians here?
We came here, we volunteered for from the 15th of February until the 14th of March, yeah.
Wow, that's
and
good.
And prior to Christmas, we did 6 weeks down as custodians at the Geeston Park as well, yeah. And they're the two parks in Tasmania for the CMCA, yeah.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing. You get to meet lots of good people.
Yep.
You sit down at happy hour sort of, and you're talking about your travels, and you pick up little gems, you know, that aren't on Wikicamps and all those sort of, you know, and on Google and stuff like that. Somebody's gone, oh, we just decided to walk down there, and, oh, you should have seen this. And you pick up all these really good things to go and see, you know, additives to your trip, like, you know.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
So how long are you going to stay in Tassie for?
We don't have an end date, mate. No.
For Tasmania, though? Are you booked on something or not?
No, not yet. When Sandy's right to go, and then we've finished our travels. So if Sandy takes 12 months to fully recover, well, then that's what it is. And then once that happens, we'll probably got comfortably, you know, like 10 to 12 months of sort of travel left here to do it properly. You know, so...
Any plans from when you leave here, or you just haven't looked at a map yet?
No, it's straight on the ferry, and we're turning left and heading over to WA.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Wow, very good.
Because we've got detectors, and we're going to go over there and have a hunt for a bit of gold, and then with Sandy's workshop there, she can make jewellery.
Make jewellery.
Exactly.
And what about yourself? Do you yourself now look for employment, or?
Oh, look, sometimes you just sort of, you get a bit excited, like, you know, you say, oh, yeah, I'll go back and do a bit of that, like, you know, and I've got a few different arrangement of skills. My occupation before I retired was a sales manager, so you've got that, you know, you can talk a bit. I can jump on an excavator, I can jump on dump trucks and front-end loaders, and, you know, I can drive trucks and stuff like that. Yeah, so, you know, I haven't actually got a bus licence, as in, you know, to carry passengers,
You don't really want to tie yourself down with anything.
Well, you don't. If you sort of can help somebody out, you know, for a couple of weeks, here and there, it's good. Puts a steak on the barbie, beer in the fridge, everybody's happy, you know, like, yeah.
And failing that, you can always get a job working at the CMCA and do become a custodian. You get your accommodation, your power, your water.
That's exactly
it's
right.
For free.
Yep.
So you are getting paid. You're just not getting beers in your pocket.
No, that's right. Yeah.
You're not paying for accommodation.
But you're not paying for accommodation.
Which buys the beers and the wine.
Of course it does.
Exactly. Yep. The fridge.
100%.
Mate, we're going to have to wind this up now.
Yeah,
thank you so much, Neil. It's been
a pleasure
talking to you, looking at this
and
rig. And what was the name of the guy again? One more plug for him.
Steve Langshaw.
Yes.
Electrical.
There you go, listeners. If you're interested in solar, go on.
He lives in Early Beach, but he's good. He can talk to you and get to know exactly what you need. He quotes you, and then he'll build the system and he'll send it to you.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so,
and then you just get your local
guy to fit it all up.
Absolutely
yep.
brilliant.
Yep.
Mate, thanks for your time. We're going to have to wind this up now.
Too easy, mate. That was great.
I'm
Thank
not
you.
Sure if you're aware, but we always play Aussie music. Do you have a favourite Aussie singer or band?
Oh, look, I've got many, but, I think...
any genre, it doesn't matter?
Yeah, no, I reckon Midnight Oil.
Okay.
And Place Without a Postcard.
That sounds pretty good
to
me, mate,
the
Oils.
No, that's, I grew up on them and through the 80s there, and or, you know, 70s and 80s. And,
yep.
Yeah, no, love them. Yeah, so,
fantastic.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Fantastic band. All right, listeners, we'll stick around for more of that. What was it again, Neil?
Midnight Oil.
Yes.
Place Without a Postcard.
There you go, listeners. We'll be back with more Raymond Oz straight after that. Thank you so much, Neil.
Perfect. Hey, thanks, guys. Cheers.
I've seen faces in the window. I've seen faces in the street. They talk and walk for nothing. I know many restless summers. Sand dunes, I imagine. A place without a postcard. Flower people were so cute and small. Straight and loud to ride. Good luck to be big spirit. The talk of politicians. Sentences of cynics are the sentences of truth. Stay warm.
hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.